Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Please turn your Bible to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that day, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Yesterday, Chinese congregation have a joint fellowship meeting. To hear a missionary, Reverend Principal Du, that we support in Thailand. He is the principal of Bethel Bible Institute. And he, together with Reverend and Mrs. Kwok, came to share with us the work in Thailand. And during the yesterday sharing, I learned something interesting about culture, okay? You know, in North America, Western society, how do we say greetings? How do we greet one another? You know, we shake hands, right? We shake hands, we say, "How are you," etc. But in Thailand, this is how they greet one another. Maybe you can repeat after me. Sawan tikap. Okay. It means greetings. Sawan tikap. But if you are a female, you don't say sawan tikap. You said sawan tika. Sawan tika. Okay. So it is very emphasis by Reverend Du, because if you say a male, you said the wrong thing, then you would be looked at very odd. So male, you say sawan tikap, and female would say sawan tika. Okay. But then another thing I learned, very interesting, is if you are in Burma, Myanmar, this is how you say greetings. You do this. Min kalapa. Is that right, Meishu? You don't know. Okay. And he just said, you fold your arm, you know. And you say to one another, "Min kalapa," which, and then, of course, I don't know, Bola, how do you greet one another in Nigeria? In Middle East, I think many people greet one another with kisses. That's why Apostle Paul asked the church to greet one another in holy kisses, you know, hug one another. So, October, during Mission Month, we want to emphasize, to remind one another our Lord's great commission to make disciples of all nations. But when you really think about it, what the Lord asks us is to go to the ends of the earth and to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. But imagine how big is the world, and consider the different languages, the culture, the barrier of the languages and the different cultures. How can we do that? Like, how can you, like, who faithfully wants to follow God's command and do that? Or for the same matter, how can a church do? When we share the gospel, which is the good news, and when we look at around us, the world's problem, you know, there is 1.2 billion people in this world have no clean water. Millions go to bed every night hungry. And then we hear about news of AIDS, Ebola in some countries. Sometimes it's when we think about all these problems, it's easy to get overwhelmed by people's need, and we'll be easily paralyzed by the magnitude of the world's problem. So, how can we, as Christians, how can one person do anything about it? What can our church do? So it is exactly what the disciples of Jesus were dealing with in today's passage of Scripture. When Jesus pointed to the hungry multitude of people and told the disciples, "You give them something to eat." Thousands and thousands of people hungry. And Jesus said to the 12 disciples, "You give them, you feed them." When we look at the Bible, turn to today's scripture, we saw that the 12 disciples, here they have a special title, the apostles being sent. They had just returned from a short-term mission trip, and it was very exhaustive. They preached the gospel, they healed people, they shared the good news, they traveled around, and it was tiring. So when they come back after reporting to Jesus, Jesus told them, "Here, get into a boat, take you to some place, you get some rest." But then by that time, Jesus' miracles, Jesus' ministry among the region of Galilee is already well known, and a lot of people follow Jesus. So when people saw that Jesus and his disciples got into the boat, many of them know the ins and outs of Galilee, and they walk on foot around the lake. And then by the time Jesus and his disciples get back on shore, there were thousands of people waiting to see Jesus. And the scripture says, when Jesus saw them, Jesus had compassion on them. They are like sheep without shepherd. While the disciples, on the other hand, had a very different reaction. the disciples were still recovering from the tired journey. To Jesus, these thousands of people are sheep without a shepherd. You know, to Jesus, using a farm analogy, sheep, I heard that, are very stupid. Sheep without a shepherd are literally lost. You know, sheep by themselves do not know how to look for green pastures, go to water. You know, sheep by themselves without a leader, they would just don't know whether they should move on or stay put. And sheep without a shepherd, a leader, would be very vulnerable, subject to attack. They are defenseless. Sheep just meh meh, and but they don't. Other than that, they don't know what to do. They just meh, and they need a shepherd. But Jesus, look at this multitude of people, thousands of people. The Bible described, he have compassion on them because they are like sheep without shepherd. Now, why was Jesus say that? It's very striking. You know, these are people. They are not handicapped people. They are not people who have no education. They are not sheep, right? But why would Jesus, the Bible describe them as shepherds without shepherds? Because the Bible, when Jesus looked at these people from a spiritual point of view, they are people who may be living, they may be breathing, eating, sleeping, working, but they are people without a true relationship with God. They are without the light of life. Our Lord Jesus says, He is the light of life. But when people reject Jesus, people without the gospel, they live like sheep without shepherd. So the scripture said, when Jesus saw them, had have compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus knew that they need the truth. They need teachings. So even though Jesus was tired, he taught them. He taught them, showed them what they need. You know why our church sent Tony and Fiona to Lima, Peru? Because the needs come back to us. It says there are over 200,000 Chinese people who move from China. You know, 200,000 people in China is, you know, a drop in a muck bucket, you know. Chinese all move to all parts of the world, you know. And wherever countries that is easy to get in, the Chinese would go there, you know. Once they arrive, they send the letter, they tell news about, oh, here, come to Lima, Peru, easy to come, you know. And then they congregate there. Why do they go there? Because they thought they can make money. So they uncles, aunties, and then get their niece, other families go there. And they open up restaurants. They call chifas. And then in Lima, they said there was over 6,000 chifas in the city. So everybody either are worse restaurant owners or workers, and then they just work there, sleep, make money, wake up and again, work, sleep. That's their life. They just want, they sell their soul, they sell their life for making money or for hoping one day they may go to North America, you know, go to United States, go to Canada. Now, recently we hear about news, people from Ecuador, Guatemala, and going, everybody rushing through Mexico to go to United States. These are the people who just spend their life in Lima, just living, working, making money, and some of them eventually become addicted to gambling, to drug, alcohol, and they are with sheep without shepherd. They live their life, but without meaning, without hope, without the gospel. And that's why the call is for us to go there, together, work together with the local Chinese church to tell them of the good news, that they matter to God and Jesus loved them. But on the other hand, when we look back in the Bible, the disciples, on the other hand, they look at the multitude of people in a different light. To them, the disciples, they are just a flock of hungry mouths. The disciples themselves suffered a serious case of compassion fatigue. They are burned out. They just finished with a mission trip. They're tired. And then, yet, once they landed on the shore, Jesus talked and teaches them. And then at the end of the teaching sessions, Jesus said, feed them. The disciples want Jesus to say, send them away. Send them away to nearby villages to buy food. But then Jesus came this surprising, unexpected demand. He says, you feed them. You feed them. Jesus not only gave them a surprise command, it was outright impossible. And they replied, it will cost over 200 denarii. Each denarii is a working man's wage in those times. So 200 denarii is how much? It's over 8 months of salary. No? You can figure out, for those who are working, you know, how much you make in a month. How much you make? 8 months, you know. That would be that amount of money to feed these group of people. And plus, also, even if you have the money, this is a remote place. How can you feed this group of people without money and without nearby stores? It is an outright impossible position. But then in verse 38, Jesus asked them a game-changing question. How many loaves do you have? He asked them. He asked, go and see. How many loaves do you have? You see, to the disciples, they focus on what they don't have. They don't have money, they don't have bread. Quite often, we also focus on what we don't have. We don't have time, we don't have money, we don't have training, we don't have the gift of mercy, we don't have an outgoing personality, we don't have a lot of things. But here, Jesus redirects their focus. Instead of focusing on what they don't have, Jesus simply asked them to look again to see what they do have and to do something good with it. So the disciples look around. He says, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all he has. What's 5 loaves and 2 fish? To do with feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, maybe it's 10,000. How do you do, what do you do with 5 loaves and 2 fish to share among 10,000 people? But to Jesus, Jesus can do with what they have. They offer whatever to Jesus, and Jesus will take it from there. And Jesus worked a miracle to feed the over 10,000 people. You see, Jesus is also asking us the same thing. When we face with the Great Commission, when we look at the problem of the world, Jesus is not asking us to be like Bill Gates, to donate millions and millions of dollars to give to the poor and needy. He is asking if you can skip maybe buying some gadgets and sponsor a child. Maybe you save in money, skip a meal at a restaurant once a month. You'll be enough to sponsor a child. He's not asking you if you have a seminary degree or counselor degree. But Jesus is asking, do you have time to set apart a couple of hours to listen to a friend, to call up a friend, to visit a nursing home once a while? You see, for the disciples, they discover that they have 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they put it in Jesus' hand, and Jesus does the miracle. Why is this miracle done? In the Bible, when Jesus performed a miracle, it's not just to amaze people and they said, see how great this is. When Jesus did the miracle, Jesus almost always have a purpose. Here, many Bible scholars says maybe Jesus wants to show that he is like God who provide manna to the Israelites in the wilderness. So Jesus performed this miracle is to show that he is like God. He can feed people like God feed the Israelites with manna. Or Jesus illustrates that he is the bread of life. He is the one who satisfies people's need. All these are true. But I think there are more. If you really think about it, this simple miracle, well, it's not simple. This miracle by itself, it have meaning relating to our topic today in missions of the world. First, Jesus performed this miracle to show that he wants to bless people. You know, keep in mind that these people are not in a starving life and death situation, you know. They are just hungry. They are not starving. They probably have money in the pocket that if Jesus sent them away, they can probably go to the nearby town to get food. But Jesus at that moment wants to bless them, showing that he cares for them. They have come to listen to God's word, and Jesus wants to bless them. They were ordinary people who just maybe sometime face life, have difficult life, and Jesus wants to give them a boost, lift them up, wants to show them that they mattered to him and to his heavenly Father. Well, so Jesus feed them. Did everybody understand that? Probably not. Did they all turn to Jesus in repentance and faith? Probably not. But Jesus was okay with that. He just wanted to bless them to give them a taste of God's goodness and a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. Most of them would probably go home that day wondering, who is this miracle worker? And why he does good to me? And I think that is how Jesus wants us when we think about world vision, world mission. It's for us to bless other people with acts of kindness, grace, and to share the gospel with others by words if necessary. When you do good to someone, something unexpected, something undeserved, something out of the ordinary, you cause that person to ask themselves why someone would do such a thing. And in that moment of asking, God is able to speak into their lives and draw them a bit closer to God. One pastor shared this testimony among his a couple of church members did. This couple make it a very custom to go to a nearby poor neighborhood to distribute fresh bread. Just bake a few fresh loaves of bread and just go to the nearby community and knock on doors. One day, this couple hears from the apartment door inside people arguing. So normally they said, well, they are in a fight, you know. They are talking about something, arguing something. Better not disturb them. But then they knocked the door anyway. Man opened up. What do you want? No, we just want to give... Do you know anybody who can use a loaf of bread? Why do you want to do that? We just want to show them Jesus loved them, to share this bread, to tell them that Jesus loved them. And the friend was very surprised. Why do you do that? Yeah, just like I said, we want to show a gesture that Jesus loves you. And then the man said, wow, we were just arguing with my wife that we just buried our 3-week-old child yesterday. And we were very sad. And here you come and show us some kind gesture. And then the couple from the church offer to pray for this family. And then the family is okay, and then they pray. And then by the time they leave, close the door, the man said to his wife, see, honey, we said that we want to know that whether Jesus still cares for us. And Jesus sent this couple to show us. I'm very glad that our fellowship, John Mellor was the leaders together with Joshua and Andrew. They will have an initiative. He says, we want to show our community that we care for them. And they said, we are going to drop off prayer request cards, you know, and invite people to share it. Whether they can need, if they have any need, they can write it to an email address, and then we would commit, the fellowship would commit to pray for their needs. I think it's a good thing. You know, you cannot do all these just to do something to show that Jesus cares and we care, our community. So, we thank you. These are things that we can offer to God in Jesus' name. We don't know how God is going to use it. Second, Jesus did this miracle through his disciples in order to build up his disciples' faith. You know, does Jesus really need the 12 disciples and need the 5 loaves and 2 fish? What do you think? Does Jesus need that? I think Jesus can just pray, Father, please raise their glucose level 2 notches up so that they don't feel any hunger, right? You think can Jesus do that? Yeah, I think so. You know, when you're hungry, your sugar level is low, right? For people who have diabetes, we know that. When I feel hungry, I'm really hungry, you know. But once if I have my glucose level, sugar level go up, you don't feel any hunger anymore. Jesus can do that perfectly without the 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus wants to use this experience that could participate the disciples in asking for the getting the offering the bread and the fish and distributing them to show that God's power, to show that God's, they can trust in God, trust in Jesus. Even it may seem unreasonable. Jesus wants to empower them for ministry, to show that they can, what they can, he can do through them if they will simply make themselves available to him. The 12 baskets of leftover Jesus collected may be a personal reminder to each of these 12 disciples. You know, see what God can do through you. When you offer something to me, see, this is what I can do through you. You see, as we face it, the world have lots of poor people. The world have lots of problems. The world have big, big problems. But today, let us focus not on the problem. Let us focus. We also have a big God. We have God who, when he sent us for the Great Commission, he said, all authority on heaven and earth is being given to me. Then you go and make disciples of all nations. And he promised to be with us to the end of the earth, to the ends of times. So, true, there are lots of problems, big problems, but we also have a big God. In closing, I want to share something that happened recently at church. Last Wednesday, a sister came to our church prayer meeting, sharing in tears the salvation of her family members in Yunnan. She said, my family live in a very remote place in China. It's a border village. No missionary was ever considered go there. How can my tribe ever have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus? Well, it's a big problem. We don't know what to do. You know, we live in Canada. My sister can go maybe visit them once a year or whatever. But we pray. That was last Wednesday. Yesterday, out of not on a schedule, a missionary came to see me. He came from Singapore. And he shared about his missionary agency, the work he was doing. And his agency work in Yunnan province, sending multitude of missionaries, spreading the gospel among unreached tribes in Yunnan. And when I share about this need of my sister, he said, "Oh, sure, just tell me, ask this sister to describe to me the tribe's name or the physical location, maybe in some of the nearby towns and the direction. I will try my best to send missionaries there." You see, we thought it's a big problem. And God answered prayer. Now let's pray. Dear Lord, you are a great God. We thank you that you are in control. As we look around the world today, with the cyber connection, with the high-speed train, with the highway, we see that the world is all connected. The infrastructure are all there. And the next 20, 30 years are most incredible, critical for us to share. Because all this infrastructure is there for us to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's already there. And we pray that you would give us an obedient heart to respond to what your call to make disciples of all nations. Help us see our life to be used by you, to live for you with a purpose in history. And we thank you that you have called and used us. So Lord, today as we listen to the scripture, we see that you are a great God and you want to use us to partner with you to do good things, to do great things. So help us to respond in obedience. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.